This is my newest book. It just came out last month. It's called It's got an ungrammatical title. It's called They Feed, They Lion. And I'll read the title poem in a minute. And try and perhaps make some sense out of the title. He's got a lot of poems about living in Detroit and growing up there and coming of age. I'd like to read one first called Saturday Sweeping, which is a poem about the worst time of my life. When I lived in Detroit during the Korean War, I think that was probably the worst time of anybody's life who was alive then. And I just felt enormously alone and isolated, and I was trying to be a poet, and I had very little encouragement. And I didn't go to the war. I didn't choose to, and I felt a little bit the way your culture makes you feel whenever you do something decent in America. You feel like a real shit and coward. You know, like Huck Finn when he takes Jim across to the free territories. Feels like a betrayer. Well, I didn't do anything that difficult or brave. And it's the thing that young people do today, young men do today. I think with a lot more ease and a lot more intelligence and understanding, and they give each other a lot more support than we gave each other then. We were all so isolated. It's called Saturday Sweeping, and it's just about living alone. At that time, it was written much later, though. It was written just after the riots in Detroit, the more recent ones of 67. It was written in 67. And I sort of look forward. I'm sitting there in 1967 looking back and seeing what's happened. But it's mainly about then. Saturday sweeping with an old broom, counting the strokes back and forth. The dust sprays up silver in the February sun and comes down gray. Soft straw muzzle poking in, bringing out scraps of news, little fingers and signatures. Everybody's had this room one time or another and never thought to sweep. Outside, the snows stiffen. The roofs loosen their last teeth into the streets. Outside, it's 1952. Detroit, unburned, stumbles away from my window, over the drained roofs toward the river to scald its useless hands. Half the men in this town are crying in the snow, their eyes blackened like Chinese soldiers. The gates are closing at Dodge Main and Wyandotte Chemical. They must go home to watch the kids scrub their brown faces or grease cartridges for the showdown. If anyone knocks on your door, he'll be oil-flecked or seaborne. He'll be bringing word from the people of the ice drifts or the great talking dogs that saved the Jews. Meanwhile, our masters will come on television to ask for our help. Here, the radiator's working. Stove says, don't touch. And the radio's crying, I don't get enough. I'm my keeper, the only thing I've got, sweeping out my one-room life while the sun's still up. Last last time I read that poem, I remember a woman asked me who were the great talking dogs that saved the Jews. I realized it was immensely obscure. When I was a little boy, my grandfather told me folk tales of dogs. They were about dogs that would come to the ghettos in imperialist Russia and warn the Jews that the Cossacks were coming or some hostile force to kill them. Never people would come, only animals. And I thought later on what a wonderful irony there was.